right, it is 6:30 and we are going to call to order tonight's organizational meeting. For those of you not already familiar, this is a meeting held as the very first order of business in every new calendar year. So the first thing that we'll do is we're going to approve the agenda for the January 9th, 2023 organizational meeting of the Board of School Trustees. Can I get a motion, please? Moved by Mr. Marley. Second by Mrs. Austin. Were there any changes or questions about the agenda for this evening's meeting? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor, and as a reminder to our new members, we do indicate a vote by a raise of hand as well as a verbal if you'd like. So all those in favor of approving the agenda for the organizational meeting, please indicate aye with a raise of the hand. That carries 7-0, Mrs. Julian. So up first in the order of business is selecting the board president for the 2023 calendar year. So everybody understands the process, I'll restate it here. First, we can accept nominations. So you may nominate, members may nominate someone else, or members may nominate themselves for the role of president. A nomination would be made, would be seconded, and then the person who has been nominated must accept the nomination. Once that acceptance happens, we'll move on to any further nominations. Once the slate for voting is complete, we will vote. By board policy, the majority wins. If there is not a majority, the top two vote receivers will be the only two people that the entire board can vote upon. So that will resolve itself in the second round of elections. The lowest vote getter or getters would not be available to vote upon in the next round. Any questions from anybody about that process? Okay, so with that open or that over, I will open the floor to any nominations for the role of president for the Board of Trustees for 2023.
I nominate Rachel Wood.
Second.
We have a first and a second. I accept that nomination. Do we have any other nominations for president of the Board of Trustees this year?
I nominate Brad Marley.
Mrs. Mumford nominates Mr. Marley. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Wong seconds that. Mr. Marley, do you accept the nomination?
Regrettably.
Mr. Marley does not accept that nomination. Do we have any additional nominations for president for 2023? Okay, hearing none, all of those in favor of voting, electing me, Rachel Witt, as the president of the board for 2023, please indicate aye. Okay, that is four votes. All of those nay, please indicate by raise of hand. That would be two. Mrs. Mumford and Mrs. Dr. Yin vote nay, and all those who abstain. Mr. Wong, are you abstaining from that vote?
Abstain.
Yes. Mr. Wong is abstaining from that vote. So with the majority vote to Rachel Witt, I will continue for 2023 as the board chair. We will move on to vice president. Any nominations for vice president?
I nominate Brad Marley.
Second.
We have a first and a second for Mr. Marley as board president.
Vice president.
Mr. Marley, do you accept the nomination as vice president?
I do.
Thank you. Are there any other candidates? Any other nominations for vice president of the board?
I nominate Yin, Dr. Yin.
Mr. Wong nominates Dr. Yin as vice president. Do we have a second? Mrs. Mumford seconds that. So on the slate, we have Brad Marley and, I'm sorry, Dr. Yin, do you accept the nomination?
Yes.
So on the slate we have for vice president, we have Brad Marley and Yue Yin. Do we have any other nominations? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of Brad Marley as vice president, please indicate with a raise of hand. That is four votes for Mr. Marley. All those in favor of Dr. Yin, please indicate with a raise of hand. That is three votes for Dr. Yin. Mr. Marley is The majority vote at 4 and will continue as the vice president for 2023. Moving on to secretary. We have any nominations?
I nominate Amy Austin.
Second.
We have a nomination and a second for Amy Austin. Amy or Mrs. Austin, do you accept the nomination?
Yes.
Thank you. Do we have any other nominations for secretary?
I nominate Ms. Daisha Mumford.
Mr. Wong nominates Daisha Mumford as secretary. Do we have a second?
I second.
Dr. Yin seconds that. Mrs. Mumford, do you accept the nomination?
I do.
Okay, so we have Amy Austin nominated, and we have Mrs. Mumford, Daisha Mumford nominated. Do we have any additional nominees? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of Mrs. Austin as secretary, please raise your hand with an indication. That is 4 votes for Mrs. Austin. All those in favor of Mrs. Mumford, please raise your hand. That is 3 votes for Mrs. Mumford. The majority is Mrs. Austin, and she will assume the role of secretary for the 2023 school year, or 2023 calendar year, excuse me. The seating of the board president is item B on the agenda. I am already seated. We will move on to board appointments for 2023. Again, we are required to do these at the start of every year. We'll start with appointment of the corporation treasurer, Michelle Kronk. Do you have anything to add to that?
No.
Okay. Can I get a motion, please?
So moved. Second.
Moved by Mr. Schott, second by Mr. Marley. All those in favor of appointing corporation treasurer as Michelle Kronk, please indicate with a show of hands. Okay, that is 7-0, Mrs. Julian. That motion passes. Moving on to school corporation bonded positions. Do these have to be done individually? They do not. Okay, so we'll move on to all 4 school corporation bonded positions. The treasurer, $100,000 bond, Michelle Kronk. Deputy treasurer, $100,000 bond, Janelle Wade. Extracurricular accounts treasurer, $25,000, Leanne Montemayor. Athletic secretary, $25,000, Kathy Slaughter. Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Austin.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Any questions or comments about those positions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approval, please raise your hand. That is a 7-0, Mrs. Julian, and that motion passes. Moving forward to appointment of the school corporation physicians, Chester Ho, MD, and Marie Biancalli, MD. Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Austin. Any questions or comments? Did you want to approach that, please?
I'm happy to respond to that one because I was asked to talk with the nurses to see if this was something that they wanted to continue the working together in this position. And I also spoke with the 2 physicians, and it's ideal in a way because you're kind of getting 2 for the price of 1 because they're splitting that compensation, but they truly share their expertise with the with our corporation nurses and our office staff and the board, as you're aware, especially even during COVID times. But they feel like that was a good combination. And our nurses really appreciate the expertise of both. Typically, if we're dealing with something where we need support from our doctors or guidance, advisement, the nurses will text them both, and we've got joint texts then going back and forth, and they're relying on one another's expertise combined with our nurses, and it just works out really well. So it's my recommendation that we continue that, given the 2 doctors are willing to do that.
All right, any other questions for Dr. Reiner on that?
Old news, but their service during COVID was top of the line. I mean, they were so responsive, and so, and they continued to do great work, both of them.
Okay, all those in favor of the appointment of our school physicians, please indicate aye with a show of hands. That motion carries 7-0, Mrs. Julian. And finally, appointment of the school attorney. Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Just as information to the board, if you'll recall, the time of fee review with Church, Hiddle, and Antrim happens by the end of the first quarter of every calendar year. So we are currently approving them on our previously agreed rate schedule, and we will review that rate schedule again. Should there be any increase, we're not anticipating it this time. That would happen at the end of the first quarter of 2023. Any other questions about our corporation attorney? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of approving Church, Hiddle, and Antrim for 2023 indicate with a raise of hand. Okay, that motion carries 7-0, Mrs. Julian. In other business, we do approve annually board compensation. We have not given ourselves a pay raise, ever actually that I recall. Just as a point of clarification, that is per Indiana code. It is $2,000 per year per board member plus $112 per meeting. And just to be clear, multiple meetings in one night still count as one pay for the evening. And that is outlined on the agenda. Everybody should have a view of that. Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Austin.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. All those in favor of approving board compensation for 2023, please indicate with a raise of hand. Okay. That motion carries 7-0, Mrs. Julian. And finally, Education Foundation appointments. As I explained to everyone in our notes, we are expected to make this appointment at the 2023 school year or the 2023 calendar year in our organizational meeting. This and other board member engagements will be resolved in January after this meeting. So can I get a motion, please? So, I'm sorry. I would like to ask the board to consider Mr. Schott continuing as the West Lafayette Schools Education Foundation representative for 2023. Can I get a motion for that, please? So, Mrs. Austin, can I get a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. All those in favor, please indicate with a show of hands. That would be 7-0, Mrs. Roberta or Mrs. Julian. That motion carries. I should never be an auctioneer. Okay, I will adjourn this meeting at this time. It is 6:43 p.m. and we will move on to our regular board meeting. I forgot a motion. Can I get a motion to adjourn this meeting, please? Mrs. Austin moves it. Mr. Schott seconds it. Oh, my land. All those in favor of adjourning our organizational meeting, please indicate with a show of hands. That motion carries 7-0. Mrs. Julian, thank you for reminding me in the corner. Now we will move on to the regular meeting. Thank you. I'm going to call to order the regular meeting of the West Lafayette Community School Corporation Board of Trustees for Monday, January 9th, 2023. We are getting started at 6:44 p.m. We will start with item one, approval of the agenda for the January 9th regular meeting of the Board of School Trustees. Can I get a motion, please?
So
moved. Second. By Mr. Schott. Can I get a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Do we have any comments, questions, changes to the agenda for tonight? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda, please indicate with a show of hands. That motion carries 7-0, Mrs. Julian. Moving on to item two, approval of the minutes of the December 12th, 2022 regular meeting of the Board of School Trustees. Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Austin.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Any changes or questions on the minutes from our last meeting? Okay. Hearing none, if I could have a show of hands, please, for all those in favor of approving those minutes. That motion carries 7-0, Mrs. Julian. Unfinished business, we have none. Academic achievements, special recognitions. Normally we have our schools present. We have youth in the room with us. Because of the multi-meetings tonight, we are going to just hear tonight from Dr. Greiner, Mrs. Roth, and Mrs. Kronk about the wonderful things happening in our schools.
Well, the good news is it's not just one school we get to hear about tonight. It's all three school districts as well. I didn't want to cheat anybody out of the good news, especially in the new year. So we do want to congratulate our Willis students and teachers. They were the top performing school for the Purdue Women's Basketball Challenge. They read a combined total of 1,002,651 pages. So congratulations to them. I'm sure that took a lot of work on their part. And then we have coming up and a very important event on January 20th. We're going to be celebrating the 100th day of school. And that is always a fun one for the littlest ones at the elementary school. So they celebrate 100 days of becoming smarter and 100 days of learning at school and becoming friends with one another. And then finally, you may recall that we've approved to raise substitute rates in December. And so we are always hopeful if there are people in the community that would be interested in subbing that they would apply and come join us. So that process can be started online.
Okay. Moving along to the junior senior high school, a number of sports and activities are underway at junior senior high school right now. We want to wish all teams with great success. And we also encourage the community to check the calendar and come support our students in all of their endeavors. We want to wish our students a great start in the new semester and congratulate all the successful first semester. I know seniors are probably, they're seeing the end of the tunnel right now, so that's exciting. And we also want to thank the many school groups and community members who organized donation efforts to raise funds and resources for those in our community in need during the holidays. The list was quite exhaustive, so it would have taken me probably about 15 minutes to get through all of them. So we want to do a blanket thank you to everybody who participated and donated for all those fundraisers.
West Lafayette Intermediate School celebrates the 100th day as well. They'll be celebrating on January 20th with a family game night. So I'm excited to pop in and see what that's all about myself. Also, they are going to be hosting a coffee welcome hour for parents on January 24th from 9:30 to 10:30. So hopefully parents will come in and enjoy a cup of coffee with administration and staff. And then finally, as the new year has rolled in, it's a great time to reflect, and we reflect on the positivity within our district. And the positivity is based on the people of West Lafayette Schools. We are grateful for our amazing students. We're grateful for our amazing staff. We're grateful for our amazing and supportive families to students and staff as we, to staff as we and students as we help to develop our students into the great learners that they are, preparing them for the future. And we celebrate every staff member within our district as well as our great community. And we were reminded through testimony, Mr. Caldwell received a letter from a parent celebrating Linda Payton, one of our bus drivers, for her kind approach to our students, in addition to her daily commitment to keeping them safe as she transports students to and from school. So that parent testimony or parent appreciation helps us realize the impact that every one of our staff members has daily on the students that we serve. And again, it's the people that make our schools the great schools that they are. And it just reminds us to be thankful and grateful for this great community that we are a part of.
Thank you all for your reports. We'll move on to communication from the audience, current agenda items. Public comment is always welcome. In this section on current agenda items, we did not have anyone sign up. For those of you new to our meetings, there is a sign-up sheet located in the back should you desire to sign up in the future at meetings. Moving on to new business and item three, a resolution, additional check runs. Mrs. Kronk.
From time to time, it's necessary to pay claims outside of a regularly scheduled board meeting in order to maintain operations and to not incur late fees and penalties. For instance, we want to keep the electricity on, things like that. The resolution for additional check runs will allow the business office to pay these expenses and to bring them to the next regularly scheduled board meeting for approval. I ask that you approve the resolution as submitted, please.
Can I motion by Mr. Marley?
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Are there questions for Mrs. Kronk? Mrs. Mumford.
I appreciate it.
I met with Mrs. Kronk and Dr. Greiner today to help me understand this since this is a new process. So I was hoping, because the accounts payable are available to the public, that you would share some of the insights that was helpful for me about how to tell the difference between what's already been paid and what hasn't been paid to understand kind of the purpose of this resolution.
I'm glad I brought it with me. So I can look
Thank
at
you.
It. So if you're looking at our claims docket, the first column is the date that either we've entered or that we've paid an accounts payable claim. And then the second column is between board. If there's a Y there, that means that we paid it in between board. If there's no Y there, that means that the board is actually approving it before we send the check for payment.
Very helpful.
Okay.
And then would you mind, I mean, you did a great job. I just wanted to have you share it with the public. Why other school districts often are not passing this resolution at the same time and why we have chosen to do it at this time?
So what I've found over the years and where I came from, we actually did not do this resolution, but we did have a blurb in our board policy that allowed for payments in between board meetings. A lot of school districts have them in board policy, which is an option for us in the future. And just every school district is different, and some may do it, but they may not do it in January. They may do it as part of the budget process, maybe in September or October. But everybody does things a little bit differently. So I found that West Lafayette, this has been a tradition to take in January to kind of solidify the fact that the board is approving me to pay those claims in between. They are the ones that are supposed to be approving the claims at every board meeting, so therefore they have to give me the approval to pay in between board meetings as well. So
thank you.
Any other questions for Mrs. Kronk?
All those in favor of passing this resolution for additional check runs, please indicate with a show of hands. 7-0, Mrs. Julian, that motion passes. Moving on to item four, donations. The junior senior high school band and debate team, Dr. Greiner.
We have two donations for the board, hopefully to accept this evening. The band received a donation of $1,000, and that $1,000 will go toward the tower that the band will use for summer practices and direction. And then the debate team received an anonymous donation of $2,000, and that is going toward a new podium and gavel. It's my recommendation, with great appreciation, that the board vote to approve those donations this evening.
Get a motion, please. Moved by Mrs. Austin.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Questions, comments?
They appreciated their generous donation, and I think I mentioned this before, but I'd like to emphasize it again. I wish we can appreciate them more in many ways and for their generous contribution. For example, we have the Red Devil Pen, the newsletter. Maybe at some point we can, sure, with their permission to share their name and stuff. So we can, because every season, you know, we have a lot of support from the family, big or small, but really appreciate all those contributions. I hope we can have more ways to express our appreciation. Thanks.
Thank
you. Any other questions about these donations? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of accepting these donations, please indicate with a show of hands. Mrs. Julia, that motion carried 7-0. Moving on to item five, field trip, West Lafayette Vans to the Briar Street Theater in Chicago, Illinois on February the 11th. Dr. Grant.
So the band is requesting to attend the Blue Man Group in Chicago. It's an extracurricular trip on February 11th. Given the trip is out of state, the board must approve per board policy. I would recommend or request that the board approve this out-of-state trip scheduled for February 11th.
Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Austin. Any questions about this field trip?
Mrs. Mumford.
I had asked previously, but would like to share if there's scholarship opportunities for students who can't afford this.
And we checked and there are no scholarships for this particular
trip
available, and appreciate the question.
Do you know of why this topic came up in a recent parent council, that there's quite a few, and I can't even remember what the field trip, there was something at the high school field trip going on, the same theme, which was an extracurricular. What options do we have to provide scholarships, or who do we reach out to, or how do we get something going so that children that can't afford to go on something would have the option to still attend?
That could be a dialogue among the parent council. If parent, council, for example, wanted to sponsor a trip, okay, or something, maybe they could talk with the principal about how that might unfold.
So is there any school funds that go to scholarships for field trips?
Not for these extracurricular choice.
I would also say, just in my experience, the teachers who lead these types of trips and organize these types of trips are very familiar with the students they'll be taking. They understand which ones may encounter difficulty in paying for that. And so I would suggest that that conversation might be best seated within the faculty who know the students and understand the needs at the closest level. I would make that thought. I would have that thought.
How about the educational foundation? So if the foundation, if they know these needs, and will they be willing to cover some of the costs? Or at least we can talk to them about these possible needs.
I don't, Mr. Schott, you're familiar with the work of the foundation. I don't believe it falls in their current structure, but.
Probably not the current structure, but certainly something I can ask. I'll raise it Thursday.
Great.
Thank you. Okay.
Do you have any idea what the cost per student on a trip like this is?
17.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you for the question, Mrs. Mumford, and comments, Dr. Yan.
Yeah, another question. Just typically for this kind of a field trip, and the parents do need to sign the waiver stuff, right? The waivers.
They'll sign like permission slips. Oh,
permission.
Yeah, permission slips.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll also throw in there that our teachers typically really do work hard to keep the cost for this type of trip and experience for students as low as humanly possible. They really do keep an eye to that and offer opportunities for children to raise funds with different fundraising opportunities as well that don't cost their families.
Yeah, talking about fundraising and we have a lot of music programs, and so they do great job, and I attend many, but they're probably more like the band. And so I wonder whether they can do some fundraising activities by performing, then collect funds for wearers, like that.
Be under the direction of the instructors.
Yeah, because right now it's all free, right? But for many families, probably they don't mind paying a little bit to watch the show, then the money can be used to fund those who are in have financial needs and things like that, or even bigger costs.
Thank you for your feedback. Are there any other comments on this topic? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of approving this band field trip to Chicago, please indicate with a show of hands. That motion carries 7-0. Mrs. Julian. Moving on to the personnel report, and Dr. Greiner.
It is my recommendation that the board vote to approve the personnel report as presented.
Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Schott. Second by Mrs. Austin. Questions or comments about the personnel report? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the personnel report, please indicate with a show of hands. That motion carries 7-0, Mrs. Julian. Moving on to item 7, the accounts payable and finance update, and Mrs. Kronk.
Claims for the period December 13th, 2022 to January 9th, 2023 total $5,611,115.65, including regular corporation expenses, as well as the Wabash Valley Education Center expenses. Of this amount, $1,708,521.03 were paid towards wages, salaries, and benefits. Moving on to our preliminary fund report for the month ending December 31st, 2022, the education fund has a balance of $2,733,114.24, and total funds on hand for the corporation are $20,585,723.89. Please note that the report is preliminary, as we have not yet closed the month or completed all of our year-end processes at this time. I would also like to remind everyone that several funds, typically state and federal grants, may run in the negative during the month as they are reimbursable funds, and we have not yet received those reimbursements from the state yet. We must expend money in those funds before we can actually claim reimbursement for those funds. And as far as an update for my office, the office has worked diligently the past 2 weeks in between the holidays preparing for the payroll that happened on January 5th, which reflected the classified pay rates raises. We had to create new pay and benefit accounts to coincide with the new chart of accounts created by the Department of Education this past fall that went into effect on January 1. We couldn't do it sooner because they don't go into effect until January 1, so they can't be activated until January 1. In the next few weeks, we'll be working to get employee W-2s processed, sent to the schools, and uploaded into the employee portals, as well as running vendor 1099s and completing the Form 9 semi-annual financial report for the district. Please approve the accounts payable and finance update as submitted.
Can I get a motion, please? Moved by Mrs. Austin.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Questions about the accounts payable or finance update? Mrs. Mumford.
Can you explain the line item that talks about the transfer tuition for TSC and Ellis?
Okay. I will do my best because I'm still fairly new at this one. So transfer tuition is based upon the Form 15, which is created by the state of Indiana. We have prescribed forms that we have to follow for pretty much everything that we do. And so the students that go to TSC, that are West Lafayette students that go to TSC, or special education related students that go to Lafayette School Corporation for special education services, use that form 515 to determine what the rate per student is. And then they bill based upon that Form 515 to us as the sending school district, and then we turn around and we pay that to them. But I also fill out that same Form 515 for the students that they have that come to us, and then they send money back to me. So it's a very back and forth process. So
it says on it 2021 to 2022 is,
yes,
typical, like in January.
I asked about that. Yeah, apparently there is an agreement amongst all three schools that we bill about November with each other, and so we can decide if we want to pay it in that current year's budget or in the next year's budget.
And you just pay one time for that whole,
yes,
previous school?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So will you mind sharing what the breakdown is for Dr. Greiner, whoever had answered it when I've asked it?
I did not bring that with me. I am so sorry.
No, that's fine.
It's in your weekly news.
Yeah, I can find it real quick because it is. No, yeah. Don't be sorry. It's pulled up here.
It's in your weekly, your last week, please.
Yeah, that was one of the questions that was asked. So.
Thanks. Yeah. All right, let's see. So where was the question? That's going to be
about maybe the third or fourth question on here.
I was just looking at number 10, question number 10.
Number 10. Thank you. That helped. Totally. That's great. So, okay. No, don't. The Twitch. So it was $15,078.04 for students attending TSC in 2021-22. And it is for one grade three student and one grade six student and four students from grades 5 through 7.
So will we receive other? Will we receive other ones, or did we only have six students that transferred out of the school district
in 2020-2021?
So it was just the six
for those schools.
And this is GLASS related, the special education service. So we have to we're in that cooperative, and so if they've got a special program and students go over there, then we help pay for that teacher, and it's through this tuition support.
That's the one at LSC. Is that right?
Yes.
TSC is just a regular.
TSC is the same thing.
Intense.
Yeah, same thing for TSC. Yes.
All six of these are special education situations.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions on the payables or financial update? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the accounts payable, please indicate with a raise of hand. It is 7-0. This is Julian. That motion carries. All right, we're going to move on to information of the board. Would you like to go first, or would you like me to?
I would be happy to go. So I just wanted to reiterate, Governor Holcomb's agenda is out, and I have a direct link in your Friday notes if you haven't had a chance to see that and would like to look at that in detail. With regard to items related to education, I told you several bulleted items. One is he's recommending increased funding to tuition support to support increased teacher salaries. With increased tuition support, 6% in 2024 and 2% in 2025. He's also proposing local incentives to recognize increased student literacy, free textbooks, STEM education, early learning and childcare, school safety, and college affordability. So we'll see how that aligns to the legislative work in the legislative session, and we'll stay on top of that. We also have Mrs. Austin, who serves for the board as the liaison related to legislative issues. So we'll continue to work together to keep you updated and, of course, communicate with legislators how their decisions are impacting us locally. February 10th is our professional development day. The morning session will take place at the junior senior high school. It's been organized and planned by our equity teams at the buildings with the direction of Mrs. Folk. And the student group I Am Power has also been helping in the development of the agenda. So we've got student voice in this as well, which is powerful. The day will start with a general meeting. We will meet together at the high school. Lunch will be provided by the district. There will be a general welcome session in the morning, and then we'll do breakout groups where teachers can choose to go to various breakout groups. The afternoon sessions will be more building related. They'll focus on building goals and or department goals, and teachers and teams will be able to work together to strategize accordingly, supporting and developing plans to meet specific building level or department level goals. I also wanted to give great thanks to Michelle Brooks. She submitted, as you know, last board meeting, her letter of intent to retire at the end of the school year. And for her 37 years of service in orchestra and strings. And we appreciate her service and dedication to our students as she has supported them in their talents and passions. And we wish her a great next semester, this second semester, as she prepares to transition into her retirement years. And that's my report.
All right. I just have one item for you all this evening, and it's regarding board bylaw 143.1 regarding public expression of board members. You all have already had access to read this anticipated statement, but as I announced in our December meeting, the board is pursuing review and possible edit of this board bylaw with anticipated completion in the first quarter of 2023. We have since obtained opinion from our retained legal counsel, Jessica Billingsley of Church, Hiddle and Antrim, to confirm that this bylaw falls within the jurisdiction of the board as it relates to new state legislation and specifically the documents known as the board packet. Legal counsel response reads, House Enrolled Act 1130 made additions and revisions to IC 514.1.5-3 and 3.7, requiring school boards to allow a member of the public who is physically present to provide oral comment at a board meeting and when a board may meet virtually. HEA 1130 does not address board packets or public access to board packets. Hence, no conflict exists between HEA 1130 and the referenced policy language. The Indiana Access to Public Records Act, IC 514.3, addresses public access to records maintained by West Lafayette Community School Corporation, such as the board packet. No law, including HEA 1130 nor the APRA, requires West Lafayette Community School Corporation to make the board packet proactively available. That is a policy decision within the jurisdiction of the board. As such, that's the end of the comment from our legal counsel. As such, the board will continue the following process already underway for review and consideration of any change to board bylaw 143.1. First, the board chair and superintendent have already provided deliberative supplemental information materials to the board for consideration. Two, the board will meet in work session in February to be scheduled for discussion regarding bylaw 143.1. Three, the policy committee will then discuss new bylaw language after the work session and will present a bylaw revision to the full board for first reading in the March regular meeting. Yeah, so that on that one, are there any comments? Mrs. Mumford.
Can I request that we do the work session in January instead of wait till February so that we can get the conversation going?
I appreciate that request and we'll definitely consider it. The concern is going to be getting the committee assignment settled. As you know, we'll have new assignments to the policy committee. So now that the board officers are identified and elected in this meeting, the next step will be for me to approach each individual member and solicit your request for engagements, our board member engagements, and what you feel may be a fit. I'll have an individual conversation with each member to come up with those. And then we'll send them out to the full board so that if anyone has any concern with other assignments, they have the opportunity to give that feedback. So that once the policy committee has been identified, sometimes I would say that process takes up to 2 weeks. So we're really pushing it in terms of when to meet. Not impossible that we could do a work session in January, but February will give us a little breathing room. Those engagement assignments are an important part of the work of the board that we do. So, but thank you for that feedback. Do you have further comment?
I did. From my understanding of discussing this previously, the work session needed to happen before the policy committee was even going to discuss this. So I guess I'm not understanding why we have to wait for the policy committee, because it makes sense. It's going to take a little bit of time. But if all we need is a work session to discuss the details, why can't that start in January?
I definitely will see if that's something we can adjust schedule-wise. I'll look at the calendar and consider what other members have going on, and we'll see if we are able to put that in January reasonably. We will do so.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments, questions?
I also agree. We should do it as soon as we can.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Yin, for weighing in on that. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Hearing none, that is the end of my information of the board, other than, as I just said, I will be contacting each of you with regard to the engagements. You've already seen that listing, and I would encourage you to reflect upon what might be of most interest and benefit to you to serve in for 2023. We will go around. Can I start with you, Mr. Marley, on any reports?
Sure. There's not a lot to add because I'm on the insurance committee and negotiations committee, and those things are taken care of and handled. I am on the redevelopment commission, and there was some discussion during one of the department reports. We have started construction on Lindbergh Road. Lindbergh Road is a challenge, as all of you know, to get back and forth to school. There are no sidewalks. So we're going to fix that as a city, which is a good thing. But that involved taking down some trees. Tried to do our level best to let everyone know that we would begin that work, but it all didn't reach the residents. So the city has taken note of that and plan us to do better with regard to notifying people when work's going to be done. So that's it.
Thank you. Mr. Schott?
From the foundation, the deadline for scholarship applications, this is the senior student scholarships, is Wednesday, February 1st, and seniors were notified via email in December. If you know or have any seniors, encourage them to apply. It's a great opportunity to get some money as they head off to college or whatever they're doing next. The first grants to our athletic coaches were awarded in December through the John Taylor Athletics Endowment. Those went to coaches in volleyball, women's soccer, and softball to support them in their leadership roles. I think we mentioned last month, three teacher grants were awarded in November. Not sure if the names were mentioned before, but they are now public. Pete Von Warder, Katie Dodds, and Nicole Spurlock, so one at each school. Again, there'll be a second round of those in the second semester. And lastly, this is pretty cool. The foundation is working with Purdue's Engineering Projects and Community Service Program, better known as EPICS, to add an enhancement to the backpack program closet. Students in the EPICS program are designing and building a bagging carousel to aid the volunteers in packing the food each week. So maybe they'll be onto something, and we can have those at Payless in the future as well. So we'll meet again on Thursday.
Thank you, Mr. Schott. Mrs. Austin, do you have anything?
Yeah, my groups were also quiet in December due to the holidays, but I did participate in the ISBA Legislative Action Meeting on January 5th, and I learned that there will probably be 200 bills, or in the neighborhood of 200 bills over the next 4 months that impact education. As the legislative liaison, I will coordinate local advocacy efforts, so if I call everyone and ask them to write letters, that's why. Which will support our school corporation and public education throughout Indiana. I'll build relationships with our representatives, including our new state Senator Spencer Deary and the other representatives who we know well. I will know and support ISBA's legislative priorities, which I will bring you a copy of once I'm officially the legislative liaison, because it's a hotly contested assignment that everyone wants. And I'll provide a report every month through the end of the session to let everyone know what's going on in Indy. And hopefully the both of us, again, will be able to go to the State House Day on February 21st.
February 21st.
So mark your calendar.
Okay, Mrs. Mumford and Mr. Wong, you don't have any assignments, obviously, yet, but if you'd like to share anything perhaps about your onboarding process or anything else, now would be your opportunity to do so.
I would like to share that I plan to continue to write the summaries of public school board meetings and share them with the community. School board members are welcome to let me know if I make any errors in the summary, and I'll correct them. My view is that school board members are elected to represent the community, and one way to do this is to keep the community informed. Community members are often not able to attend these meetings for various reasons, and I like that these summaries allow them to be informed. I do not plan on writing summaries of committee meetings or other school board discussions, but I do plan on writing them, as I've done for the past, the regular school board meetings and the public work sessions. I'll be very clear at the beginning of each summary to state that the summaries are my own personal views and opinions and do not represent the official positions or views of the West Lafayette School Board.
Okay, and I would remind, as I shared with you and you shared that information with me, that our liability as individuals rests with us when we are not elected, and when we become school board members, our liability extends to the schools. So understand that as you write those, that is an increased exposure to our schools to risk, and that is a burden in which you are accepting. I also would point out to you that your fellow board members are really not free to collaborate on your minutes or your notes, as it could put us in violation of holding meetings outside of our official meetings. So I know that I will not be offering you any edits to your commentaries, and I suspect you may find that those are few and far between. But you do still maintain your right of freedom of speech on those matters, and that is at your prerogative. So, Mr. Wong, did you have any comments about your onboarding or anything else?
I don't have any comments.
Thank you.
Yeah, regarding Deja's comments about that, her meeting summary, I really appreciate that. And actually, during my election campaigns, I met and talked to many community members, parents, and pretty much everybody appreciate Deja's meeting summary. So I think her work is really should be continued and should be appreciated. That's something I mentioned.
Yes, so we'll come back to you, Mrs. Austin, on that matter. I will just remind everyone that opinions are opinions, and as you, they need to be recognized as opinions. And as you spend an increased amount of the time on the board that and have more context of people who perhaps do not share those opinions on the other side of the coin, that may, just broaden your view. Mrs. Austin.
This morning,
for about 45 minutes before school began. My daughter was on a conversation on Discord defending her mom because a student who lives within a block of her house was accusing the board, and that includes myself, of embezzlement. And I don't appreciate the harm that your summaries have done. I will not appreciate the harm that your summaries have done. And I don't think you have any appreciation for how many people have been negatively impacted by your opinions.
Oh, I apologize if there's anything negative from it. The intent has been to share information, and if people are misunderstanding or have questions, I would hope the school board would answer them. But I do plan on sharing information with the community. So, but if there's something that I share that's incorrect or that you feel like is harmful, please let me know, because that's definitely not my intent.
I will not be making any editorial comments, because to do so would be seen as an endorsement. I don't read them, and I will not be doing that because I don't endorse them.
Okay, thank you, ladies, for your comments. Dr. Yin, did you have any committee report you'd like to share?
I don't have committee report.
Okay. Yeah.
But I, regarding Mrs. Austin's comments, I read a Deja's report because personally I found it's helpful for me, and I learned a lot from it. And but I didn't I haven't ever seen any embezzlement accusation. I don't know how the other people got that idea. And just to clarify, yeah, I do read it, and I never seen that.
It is always true that opinions are opinions. So we'll keep opinions and facts as separate as we can possibly keep them in our work as a board. Okay. So upcoming dates, our future meetings, our next one is Monday, February the 13th at 6:30 p.m. right here. Upcoming dates of interest, Monday, January 16th, there is no school for Dr. Martin Luther King Day. Friday, February the 10th is the professional development day for staff, as Dr. Greiner indicated in his comments. Monday the 20th, there is no school unless there's a major snowstorm that comes through between now and then. And Monday, March the 13th, to Friday, March the 17th is spring break for our school corporation. Finally, information for the public. If you are not able to attend a meeting, or you know someone who'd be interested in the content of our meetings, board documents and audio from the January 9th meeting will be posted on the website within 7 to 10 days following this meeting. A live stream is recorded and would be available for anyone to enjoy firsthand what we do here in our meetings, should they desire to do so. With that, I will ask if there's a motion for adjournment, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley. Second by Mrs. Austin. All those in favor of adjourning our meeting this evening, please indicate with a show of hands. That's 7-0, Mrs. Julian. That motion carries. We are adjourned. We are going to move on now to the annual meeting of the Board of Finance, for which I will happily hand over the gavel to Mrs. Austin.
I'd like to call to order the annual meeting of the Board of Finance. The first item on our agenda is to approve the agenda for this Board of Finance meeting. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Schott.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Witt. All those in favor, please indicate by raising your hand. That is 7. Moving on to the approval of the minutes for the January 10th, 2022 Board of Finance meeting. I need a motion to approve.
I'll move.
Moved by Mrs. Witt. Second.
Second.
By Mr. Schott. All those in favor of... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to make a comment about those. It is weird that we postpone the reading and approval of these minutes an entire year. And so we're not going to do that anymore. I've been told by Mrs. Kronk that we can incorporate those in our regular meeting minutes. We'll approve those in our next regular meeting, so we're not waiting 12 months to do it again.
Super. That'd be much better.
I feel like it would be.
All those in favor of approving the ancient minutes, please indicate by raising your hand.
Aye.
That is 7 also. Okay, the next item is to select officers for the Board of Finance. I am willing to continue to serve as the president, but I will also open up the floor for nominations.
I nominate Amy Austin.
Thank you. Need a second?
Second.
Great. All those in favor of me continuing to do this poorly, please indicate by raising your hand. Seven again. The next seat is the secretary position because, or did we decide we want to?
Secretary,
yes. No vice president. So secretary position. We need a nomination, please.
Can you, sorry, just clarification. So these are nominated, but this is the only time they actually meet in the
yes,
year.
Yes, correct.
Unless there's an emergency.
So like the president will conduct, if we, there's no emergency, you'll conduct again next year.
Yep.
Secretary technically.
Signs a thing.
Signs a thing at the end, just so I'm understanding.
Yep.
Perfect.
Would you like to sign a thing?
I'm fine with signing a thing.
I'll nominate Dacia Mumford.
Second.
Great. All those in favor of Dacia Mumford being the secretary of the Finance Committee, please raise your hand. Seven again. All right, and now I will turn it over to Mrs. Kronk for the Investing Officers Report and Investment Register.
Thank you, Ms. Austin. The school district holds accounts with Huntington National Bank and has investments through Huntington Trust and Hoosier Fund. Interest earned on all accounts for the period of December 1st, 2021 through November 30th, 2022 total $124,490.64, which is not too bad, especially for a district our size. So, a breakdown of monthly interest in all accounts is included in your board packets. Currently, the district has several investments. Four treasury bills, our reinvestment account with the Hoosier Fund, and five certificates of deposit. Older investments earning lower interest rates will be maturing over the next few months, and we will have the chance to go out for bid to earn higher interest rates on those funds. There's a prescribed method that we have to follow in order to do investments. We are also working with Huntington Bank on how to restructure our accounts to maximize interest earnings going forward. We meet with them, I believe, next week. So I'm excited to see what they have in store for us. So please accept the investment report and register as submitted.
Okay, I'm looking for a motion to accept.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Schott.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. All those in favor, please indicate by raising your hand. Seven. And then once again to Mrs. Kronk for the fiscal indicators report.
Is everybody ready? Because this is exciting stuff.
It is. It's riveting.
I love
my heart asleep tonight. So. All right. So the Fiscal and Qualitative Indicators Committee was established under House Rule Act 1315 in 2018 to develop indicators used to evaluate the financial condition of school corporations. Indiana Code 5-13-7-8 requires Indiana school corporations to present that report on these indicators for review by the board at a public board meeting in January when the Board of Finance convenes. The fiscal indicators I'm sharing this evening are located on the Distress Unit of Appeals Board's website under the Fiscal Indicators section. So it is a report that the state prepares that we just print out and then share with the public. Okay. And anybody can go to this website and pull those for any school district in the state of Indiana. So let's start with the first indicator graph. It actually outlines average daily membership, or what we call ADM, for the school corporation, showing both the fall count and the spring count. These counts are what our school tuition support funding from the state is based upon. The graph shows data through 21-22 school year. As you can see, the school corporation's ADM increased slightly from the 14-15 school year and through the 18-19 school year, and has kind of leveled off since. COVID probably had a hand in that. For 22-23, our ADM is currently 2,276 for the fall count, which is up 35 students from last February. Please also remember the ADM does not include transfer students from other districts paying tuition, like what we talked about earlier. The number of transfer students has been increasing over the past couple of years. Currently, we have 117 transfer students, up from 72 last year. Any questions on ADM?
Mrs. Kronk, can I just ask you, in a very basic level, we have more children in our buildings than last year. Is that a true statement?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thanks.
May I ask a question? I guess maybe you don't know the answer to it, but I'm just wondering in general. So in the future, if we can figure out, it'd be great. Which is, I wonder, So besides this ADM, by any chance, we can have the data for how many school age kids live in our district?
That is something that I can look up and include in the narrative next year if you'd like me to, because the state does provide a transfer report that shows the number of students that leave the district and the number of students that come into the district.
Right. So, you know, we have students transfer out. We also have students who do homeschool.
Yes.
So I feel, you know, potentially there might be students who can be part of the ADM.
I believe we can provide that at a meeting.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We can, yes.
When did they publish that?
We can pull the data.
Yeah, also kind of related to it, and it might be helpful to know why those students choose to transfer to other districts. Why do they choose to homeschool? And you know, just wondering why. So
right.
And whether there's any way we can accommodate them better so they can come to our school. And so yeah, just you don't really have to find the answer now, but it's just something
right
to consider in the future. Let's say if a principal got an email from a parent saying, hey, we withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can figure out why, and it'll be really helpful in, because for example, I know a parent who withdrew his son from our school because the parent wants to give the student a more accommodated math education. And so things like that. And I just wonder how.
And typically if a student unenrolls, there's questions asked. So I think we can pull some of that information too.
It won't be from the state level.
Yeah, it's more like.
Yes, Mrs. Roth says, it'll be like the secretaries as they, as a student, a parent communicates that their child will be going elsewhere. They typically take notes on that.
Uh-huh.
So I think we can pull some of that data for you.
Right. So we can better know students' needs. We can hopefully we can accommodate
sure
those needs if possible at all.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Moving along to the second indicator graph. It shows year-end fund balances across all different types of funds. Each different type of fund is a different color. Notice the bright green and the light pink for federal funds typically run in the negative. That's a recurring theme. I keep talking about that tonight, as they are reimbursement funds. Overall, the school corporation maintains appropriate and healthy cash balances in its funds to maintain operations if there were ever an emergency. We don't want that thing that happened back in, what was it, 2008 to ever happen again. So, yeah. Okay, the third indicator graph. Shows the annual deficit or surplus for the district for all funds. Total revenue is indicated in the first column. Total expenses are shown in the second column, with the third column for each year showing the difference between the two. And we do budget on a calendar year, not a school year, so that's a little bit different for some people. It's a little confusing sometimes. As a whole, the school corporation ended 2021 with a surplus across all funds due in part to the healthy cash balances that are maintained. Moving on to the fourth indicator graph. This shows the combination of budgeted fund cash balances with the exception of debt service as compared to total expenditures in those funds. The absolute minimum percent for the industry that we talk about in our industry among school finance people is 8.3%, or the equivalent of 1 month of expenses. More acceptable industry standards call for 3 months to even 6 months worth of expenditures as a cash balance. The school corporation has historically done a great job conserving cash to prepare for anything that might arise. The fifth indicator graph shows revenue by type for each calendar year. As can be seen, total revenue has seen a slight increase over the years. The largest section in blue is our state tuition support revenue. Notice that even though our ADM has remained steady or even increased over the years, our state tuition support has remained fairly steady. So those lines are kind of parallel as they're moving across there.
May I ask a question? Not necessary here. Earlier, Dr. Greiner mentioned that the governor actually planned to increase a teacher's salary. And so I'm just wondering, kind of connect to this and to what does that mean? Like which part of the money will be increased?
It is the state revenue. Yes. Yeah. The see that thick one.
His agenda is to ask the legislators to increase state tuition support, which is that big blue.
Only the big blue part. Okay.
6%.
Okay. So then eventually will our teachers be able to get a 6% by their increase?
That's assuming it passes.
Yeah.
So there's concern among legislators in the state of Indiana that the economy might be sliding and we may not have the revenue stream to fund that. That comes from state sales tax collections, which hinges on the performance of the economy. The better the economy does, the higher the collections. The worse the economy does, the lower the collections. It's part of the challenge with shifting the burden of that fund to state sales tax versus property tax, which happened quite a while ago.
Okay, suppose the economy is doing well and this bill is passed and we can get the 60% increase for the blue part.
It might not translate exactly to our district because it depends on the allocation.
State tuition support involves a number of different things, including complexity, honors grants, special ed funding, CTE funding. There's a lot of different things that go into it. And I think also the thing that we need to think about going into the next legislative session is that we have seen increased costs across the board as well. So inflation has been extremely high for the past couple of years, which has minimized our purchasing power as well. So it can't necessarily translate into we're getting a 6% increase, so everybody that works here can get a 6% increase because we have increased expenses across the board.
Okay.
But it does translate to where you're going with it, that increased revenue, like they're aiming toward, can lead to increased salaries. And I think that's your biggest part of the question.
We always want more money.
And so the answer is yes, it could be a very good thing for teacher salaries.
Okay, but not necessarily the 6% of the...
And then all, board bargaining occurs, and we have those discussions, and we talk about what our expenses look like, what our forecasts look like, what our projected expenses look like, and all that gets into that discussion.
Yeah, because our teacher salary has some other sources as well, right, besides
that. Yeah, it's actually one of the largest parts of our expenses, so, yeah.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
Okay, any other questions on that? The last indicator graph shows our operating referendum revenue as a percent of total revenue. As of the end of 2021, our operating referendum amounted to 17.1% of total revenue for the school corporation. Notice the amount of revenue has been increasing over the past couple of years. This is due to increased assessed values being taxed at the same rate. So our referendum tax rate has remained the same, but assessed values have been going up, so we get more money based upon that formula. Okay. All else equal, without the referendum, we would have had approximately $6.3 million in educational and operational expenses that would not have been covered in 2021.
We can see the importance of the referendum, and are very grateful and appreciative of our community, and we must continue to show the need for that. That a big part of what makes our districts are great.
Okay. There are no other comments. Please accept this fiscal indicators report as submitted.
Thank you. I need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Witt. All those in favor of accepting? That's 7 again. Okay. And finally, I would like a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Schott.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. All those in favor of adjourning the fiscal meeting. Great. 7 one more time.